Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's a great day on the Paula Price Show today in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dr. Price, welcome to your show.
I'm glad to be on my show today, and you're right, it is a beautiful day here in Tulsa. And, you know, I've enjoyed this August. Have you noticed that how cool this August has been?
Yes, it's almost scary.
Well, actually, I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago where they talked about some sort of unusual cool front that was going to keep the first couple of weeks of August cool, but then afterwards we'd get back into our normal summers. And, Ashley, you know about our normal summers here in Tulsa.
Yes, we're dying. A very hot, sweaty moment.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you're going to have to put your fall clothes away just a little bit more, you know, a little longer, because starting next week, we get a normal summer. But anyway, I want to thank everybody who's calling in today and who's on the show, and all of you who go back and listen, because sometimes you don't think I consider you, but I do. I may not know your names, and certainly we have not connected, but understand, I do feel your presence, and I do pray. And I pray every time we do a show that what you need from the Lord is given to you, and that God makes things clear to you and understandable. I think about doing this week after week. I was talking to the Lord this week about, well, okay, what do you want to talk about? God said to tell you, I've got great things planned for you. You know, we do this not for just corrective measures. We do this because God has things planned for you. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that on your notepad. You know, some of us are sci-fi now. You're probably going to key it in your device. But whatever way you use, God wants you to know, I have plans for you. And hear this, I've got plans that have been scheduled for you before you got here. So many of us, we're feeling that tug of God. You know, we're feeling that I need to examine myself. I need to get it straight. I need to explore what's happening and where I am. And you feel that tug, which is why we connect. We connect on Thursday because we're sharing a very similar journey. We're sharing a place of leaving where we were and going into where we are. We're going, we're exiting wilderness and entering into Jericho. And in order to do that, there are things we need to correct. I like to use that because it's very difficult. I know some of you all will agree with me, and if you're leaders, I would love to hear your feedback on this. You know, I always invite you to Facebook me. But some of us have realized it's very difficult to develop the body of Christ. It is very difficult to develop your classic Christian because we've had so many happy time messages, so much good news, so much I'm okay, you're okay, or everybody's okay, even the devil's okay, that we don't want to deal with ourselves, and we don't want to deal with it because that kind of happy time gospel coupled with the cause and effect consequences that are normal to every behavior in every group, they conflict. So we, to us, because cause and effect to a Christian is not the same as it is to someone else, you know, or to a non-Christian. To a Christian, it's like, oh my God, I've come under God's condemnation. I'm under divine condemnation. Oh Lord, I'm never going to make it into heaven. We throw everything on altar. You know, we just can't hear, you know, I really need you to come to church on time. Or I really need you to hit that note right on. And I really need you to be, you know, submit your work on. We don't hear that. We hear, because that's programming. Understand, when we're dealing with programming, theological programming. See, the world has their psychological programming, but we are wrestling with theological programming that is not often correct, not often balanced. And so for us, we'll say those kind of things. Next thing you know, we're packing up, snatching the children. We're packing up, leaving the church. We're sending out emails, hate mail, you know, all of these kinds of things because we have taken that little bit of correction and we've sent it all the way down to the depth of our souls where our eternal hope lies. We throw every correction, into the well of our eternal hope. And when that happens, a panic hits us. And we begin to panic over, oh, God, that means I'm missing it with God. I don't want to miss it with God, because if I miss it with God, then I can't, oh, my gosh, I'm going to come under judgment. Okay, if I come under judgment, then I'm going to, oh, my goodness, it's horrible. And so we would rather stay stuck in our zones, in our unproductive places, stuck in our unprofitable places, stuck in our disappointed places, rather than find out what's holding us back. You know, we don't want to find out the yokes that choke. We don't want to know what yokes are choking us, because we realize we can't just say, you know what, that's right. No, we have got to always reinforce and endorse our pet theologies. And because we do that, when it comes time for God to bless our lives, to bring us into that living hope that he has, we can't go. We won't be outfitted for it because we are too busy reinforcing what we've done. Now, it may not have given us the results we wanted. It may not have given us the harvest. We're still hunting for destiny or somebody in the wilderness, but that doesn't matter. The fact is we must feel good inside, because we cannot make that logical disconnect between what we have been theologically conditioned to feel like as a good Christian versus what we're actually producing or pursuing to become that quality Christian. And so it's easier for us to protect what we feel is the security of our eternal life, our eternal redemption, than to go and say, you know what, there's more to life than this. And so this goes back to your value systems, your measuring system. What yardstick do you use? Because it never feels good to correct or perfect. As a matter of fact, we've gotten so comfortable with it, we just tell you, you're okay. You're okay. It's God loves you, and God's going to take care of you. And in the final analysis, it is all God's responsibility. And it isn't. Because God is living your life through you your way. Because if God had this way, two-thirds of what we do would never happen. So God is indulging your life and your life choices and allowing you to do what he had to do and what he had to learn to do eons ago, and that is work it out and to discover good choices and good decisions and good actions. God had to do that. We act like he didn't, because God is like the Ancient of Days, so who wants to know the day that God was working out God? But he had to work out God in order to work out his creation. So otherwise, everything that comes from him would have been as flawed as he is, and it isn't. So there are things that we are going to have to mature. When I'm talking today, I'm talking to that mature Christian who wants to take charge of your Christian success. It is not all on God. You know, you can be a quality Christian on purpose, and you can be a quality Christian unapologetically. You don't have to apologize for being good as Christ did. You don't have to apologize or explain away why it's a superior thing. It's an excellent thing. You don't have to do that. But the thing is, Christians, we are thin-skinned because we've been programmed to be thin-skinned. And and while we're nursing that rice paper skin that we have, we are missing God's best for our lives. Because God's best for your life comes through the press. If Jesus had to go through to enter into his glory, you can rest assured you will. Because that's what it takes. And if you cannot beat the odds to win your victory, you will not defy the odds to retain it. And that is what God is working in your life. He's not working criticism. He's not working curses. He's not working judgments and condemnation. No, he's going after an end product, a product that guarantees him victory and success in the press. When the odds rise up against the Lord, he needs to know he's got a mighty army of competent, capable people who are ready and willing to tackle it and bring home the victory to the king. And we don't have that mentality today because we're too self-defending and we're too self-preservational. So we don't realize that. And by the time we wake up and discover the foolhardiness of this particular path, for many of us, it's just too late. For many of us, too many great moments have gone by. Too many powerful opportunities have gone by. We've dismissed too many effective mentors and too many quality leaders and coaches because they did not meld with our theological conditioning as we embraced it to secure our eternal life. My challenge to you today is that you separate your theological conditioning from the rationality you need to conquer your life and succeed in your world. And that you take the two and temper them. In addition, I challenge you today to go a step further, even in that recommendation. I challenge you today to rethink what you believe and why you believe it and how you expect it to play out in your everyday life. Classically speaking, just from the last several decades, many Christians hear that hype differently. You know, you hear it very differently. So you're hearing from the lifetime of disappointment, the frustrations you've had, the broken this, the lost that, the setback. And when you go into that, you just want to feel good. But trust me, that is no more helpful to you, hallelujah, than if you go and take some sort of illicit drug to eliminate the pain. Eventually, you're going to have to look at how you got there and what you're going to do about it. And that's what masterful people do. Masterful people don't stop at the experience that wounded. They go on to discover their healing. And many Christians are stuck in the experience that wounded them. And they're licking that wound like a sore animal on the side of the road that nobody wants to help. You're going to have to get up and say, you know what? It happened. It was horrible. There are days that I feel very, very good about it. And then there are days that I don't feel so good about it. But my life is my responsibility. And it's in my power to get the best out of it. So I'm going to look at how I got there. And then I'm going to look at how other people got out of it and how God wants to bring me out. You have 66 books that seem closed to you because you're closed to it. See, the Bible is only as closed to you as you are to its truth. And as closed as you want the Bible to be, that's how closed you are to your Savior. Jesus Christ said, I'm the truth. He meant that. If you want truth, come to me. Now, you know, we can argue about all of that kind of crazy stuff that they have in those kind of, you know, in our little, you know, secular kind of things. That's fine. But that's not us. We are of a different ilk. We are from a different stock. When you research the new creation in Scripture, it says you are of a different gene pool. Your genetics are not like the people you're chasing, not like the people you're modeling your life after, not like the people you're admiring and aspiring to be. Your gene pool is different, which is why it doesn't work for you as well as it does for them, because the custodian of your gene pool is the Holy Ghost, and he's not going to bring God back ever. He cannot. They're the same. So he's like God. He knows what the Father will accept, and he knows what God will reject. And so the Holy Ghost cannot put a stamp of approval on something that you're bringing to him, that you adopted from what you rejected. So God is saying to you today, I am not wounding you to destroy you. You know, there's a difference between an assailant wounding you and a surgeon wounding you. Both are wounds. Both can bring blood. Both can bring disfigurement. But one is for destruction and the other is for healing. You're going to have to recognize the difference and the reasons and the expected outcome of the wounds that happen in your life. And when you accept that, then you go on and treat yourself differently. When an assailant wounds you, you then must go to a medical professional to find out what it is. And sometimes those treatments are very painful and very uncomfortable. Why do we have to have physical pain and discomfort that we can recognize the soul pains and sorrows that God must deal with when we leave this flesh? So God is saying to you, stop looking at me like as a teenager who resents their parent and began to come into adulthood. Begin to acknowledge that there are better decisions you could have made. There are times that you didn't even have better decisions at your disposal, but you have them now. So you can't walk around locked in remorse and regret because you made a bad decision 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 days ago that you would have not made once you got to the other side. Work with what you have today. You know, we used to ride horses. Nobody's walking around bemoaning the horses that don't get to pull a carriage any longer. We're going on and buying our cars. So God wants us to change our mindset and stop addressing all of your situations with a single sermon or a single series of sermons. Life is a very complex enterprise. It is never going to be easy because it's not meant to be. It's meant to be worth the effort. Life is meant to be worth every reward, every effort you have. It's built infrastructurally. It's built to make only those who are worthy get it. Now, worthy is not a decree by mama or daddy or brother or sister or job or teacher. Worthy is you who endure to the end, you who pursue to the end. The secret of life is pursuing till you get what you got went after. That's the masterful secret. Not letting all of the landscape along the way, all of the debris in the road trip you up or hold you or divert you from what you were going after. Life is, listen, succeeds through focus. And you've got to start focusing instead of always living in reflections. When you live in reflections, you're not pursuing. You're sitting back, relaxing. But God is saying to you, give up that. You know, come home, reflect, work out the issue, work out the plan, set a course and stay there. Adjust it when you need to, readjust it a couple of more times. But understand, again, I said to you last week, God is about finishing. Life rewards finishers, not initiators and not beginners. And we have a lot of people who are frustrated because you thought something should be easy because so-and-so preached the finishing part of the story. And we get up, you realize by the time you hear somebody's testimony, that's the finisher's part. You didn't hear the initial part because they weren't out there in public to tell it to you. You were in the finisher's part. So when you're finishing, you don't remember. You realize you don't remember what it's like when you had to walk all of those blocks to school, or as we like to exaggerate, sandwich, all those miles. You don't remember that. Now you know what it is to just ride to work or get on the bus. So I hear God saying to you, I have a hope. And everything that we're doing, I'm here every Thursday because I am collaborating with God for the fulfillment of your hope. But all the collaboration in the world won't help if you don't cooperate. And you have to begin by doing some great thoughts. You know, I do a lot of training on, hey, guys, let's just rethink how to restructure our lives. Because some of us, we have to do that. Some of you have too many, oh, my God, you got everybody this, everybody's that. You run to the conference. The first guy say God doesn't care. The next conference say God cares a lot. The next guy stands up and say, I know what they said, but this is what God is telling me. You realize all of that confusion is binding up your purpose. Find what fits your course. Find what fits your calling, your destiny. Walk that out and complete that. If you get a third of the way down the highway, you realize, you know, this is counterproductive to me, counter-effective. You don't have to condemn the preacher. Just realize it's not yours. Now, this is not going to get me on my journey. This is not going to get me on my path. Because, again, we have got to deliver our souls from that judgment, condemnation mindset that causes us to vilify what doesn't work. We don't have to vilify everything. But also, likewise, we don't have to let everything victimize us. So you have to make decisions. That preacher you're mad at might have been effective for 10 people, but you were number 11. It wasn't meant for you. So move on. Bless and go on. By the same token, let's keep going on this. I'm wrapping it up. But by the same token, you further need to realize that there are different journeys for everybody. And that you must make logical decisions. I press wisdom because the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. I'm telling you, I love Proverbs. I read Proverbs 8 because it is like my favorite chapter in the whole book. I absolutely love Proverbs 8. I love 9 too, where it says wisdom has hewn her seven pillars. Just studying that out. But I love it because wisdom gives you the nuanced secrets that knowledge and understanding and information lack. And that's what gives you your edge. And wisdom works as much by knowledge and information. Rather, I should want to reverse that. Wisdom works as much by instinct as it does, an inkling as it does by knowledge and information. So you cannot lock yourself into somebody's theology because it may not fit you, and you can't lock yourself into a single sermon. You can't say, wow, that felt good. Okay, my life is healed. That's like going to the emergency room, getting a shot, getting some stitches after the dog bite, talking about you don't need rabies treatment. No, no, you got to give the whole thing. And I hear God saying to someone out there, it's time for us to be wise as serpents. We've done all right being harmless as doves. Look at the things that we don't fight. We pass it. So we've mastered that. But let's start being wise as serpents. Let's start being strategic and shrewd in our behaviors and sagacious in our attitudes. Let's start thinking things through and knowing. And get with wise friends. Don't just get with informed people. Gather with wise friends. You know? Have something, people who have done something in life, mastered out, and begin to share secrets. Because a lot of times, wise people don't share their secrets on a public platform. That's why wisdom is not that prolific. It's not that pervasive in society because it's not shared like that. I told you, life rewards those who finish, and wisdom is only going to give you as much as it's going to take for you to get to the next leg of the journey. If you waste her at any point, she's out. I'm done. Because it's unwise for wisdom to give you wisdom that you're not going to use. So I say to you today, God is going after an end product to fulfill a predestined purpose to accomplish an achievement that he had on the books for you since before you were born. And all he's doing, if you feel uncomfortable and you're like, okay, this one hurt my feelings, my apostle didn't do this, you feel uncomfortable, check that out and see if those are soft spots or sore spots or if they're hot spots in your soul. And you need to deal with that. Because when you have mastered that wisdom to the point you need to go, and we're all pursuing it every day, I'm not telling you this as if I've gotten it. I'm telling you that I'm making it a number one priority in my life. But when you've mastered it, a lot of things that hurt your feelings just won't. A lot of things that break your heart, they just won't. A lot of things that tick you off and cause you to blow, they just won't touch you like that. That's how God is. You're like, how can he do that? He's mastered the wisdom of his existence. And he wants you to do the same thing. Master the wisdom of your existence. Because that is where God is with you, and that's where he is with us. So when he starts telling you, I need you to fix this, he's not trying to send you to hell. He's trying to get you to be successful. Your heaven and hell is pretty much covered. Once you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior and you are the Holy Spirit is walking and talking in you, sanctifying and purging you every day, understand God is trying to get you to build and to put in your soul, to attract and build in your soul the principles and the practices, the instincts and attitudes of victory and success that will take you throughout all eternity. He's not trying to keep you out. He's not trying to make you feel bad. You know, God doesn't need you laying on the side of the road feeling sorry for yourself, but he does need you capable. And that's something that we don't give him credit for, that God needs capable, competent people. He needs people with a mind for him and a mind for how they live because we have to be in that environment forever. And so every obstacle, stop running from them. Start picking them up. Every challenge, stop doing it. Every setback, stop. Don't act like the toddler that doesn't want to work anymore, so you're sitting down so mom would have to carry you. Come on, get up and press yourself. You're not going to get it all at once, but blessed be God. If you just make it your focus, you will do this. You'll have some days that you do it very, very well, and you'll have some days that you can do it better, but you will never have a day that you don't pursue it. And that's what God is looking at. That's what he's looking for. So, Ashley.
Yes.
Did you catch that? I was wondering if you caught that. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught it. I caught it. It caught me. I think the statement you said about the Bible is only close to you because you are close to its truth. That's probably an ouch moment right there. We have so been conditioned to believe that the Word of God is too deep, it's too hard, it's too confusing. Now, on one hand, God is simple and God is love, and then on the other hand, the Bible is too deep and too... I'm thinking, well, which one is it? You know, our salvation is so simple, yet our Bible is so complicated. It's a little dichotomous there. But we're so conditioned to think that we don't realize that it is close to us because we're close to the truth that's in it.
And I think, too, which must be a hot button of mine, how we ultimately branched off into having 25 versions of the Bible so that people could compose their own brand of the truth that works for them.
That is accurate. That is very accurate. And you know, the thing is, one time someone asked me, you know, when we started talking, I think actually last week we talked a little bit about the knockoff Christian, and then we had the class. You know, one of the things I want to tell you, and again, you know, today I'm in for you writing things down, because sometimes writing things down tends to write it more deeply in your brain. But here's the thing I want you to know. The knockoff Christian needs God and his kingdom to change for their convenience. When your Christianity is real, you're not trying to change God. You're not trying to change the kingdom. You're trying to get them to change you. And that is the difference. The true Christian knows that in the flesh dwells no good thing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. Those three principles, but we don't stop at that. So if you stop at that, that's condemnation. But if you use those as acknowledgement to motivate you, then that condemnation turns to conversion. And then God begins to convert you into his citizen, convert you into his image and likeness, convert you into the Godhead's gene pool. See, because those things are in you secret and hidden until you acknowledge, hey, I am woefully or at least psychologically incompatible with you, God. But even if I'm spiritually redeemed, I am psychologically incompatible. I don't think like you. I don't consider things like you. Matter of fact, I'm having some issues with you right about now. That's when you're ready. That's an acknowledging point. And you can take that acknowledging point and instead of rejecting it as if it's some sort of condemnation that you have to escape that's going to end up robbing you of eternal life, you're going to accept it, acknowledge it, accept it, and examine it so you can convert to what you were destined to be. And it's very important that we do that. So, Ashley, you're right. People do want to change the Bible because they don't want to change.
Yeah. Well, like you always say, that because God is invisible, we can kind of change him any way we want to until he steps up for real in our lives.
Exactly. And unfortunately, he has to step up after he's allowed us to live with the short-sightedness and the ineffectiveness of our life choices. By the time God steps up, my goodness, we've got a string of stuff that Lord, now we're scared of him, or we're angry with him. I love that part. We get angry with God. Someone says, I don't even know what it was to me about something that happened a few months back. I want to say a few months back about something that, you know, made an option of, a decision to buy something or whatever. And so they're angry with God. Wait a minute. Did God buy that? Because as far as I'm concerned, you bought that. You know, we've had to live with that ourselves. We signed our names on those dotted lines. God didn't. I went back to all my contracts. Not one of them said, signed by Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Not one. I kind of wish they would say that, because then I could just leave it on him to work it out, but they don't. And so we're going to have to become, again, that teenage thing, that childhood thing, that pubescent mindset that says, I'm responsible for nothing, and I'm demanding of everything, and it's your job to see to it that I get it. You know, God doesn't exist to meet our demands. He exists to get us into his world and his prosperity, because his systems are working. They work with us, without us, and they work. Hallelujah. So, Ashley, you didn't have much else to say, and I gave you time this week, girl.
Now, I took more notes, but I think you said it well.
Well, I'm excited about that. I pray that what I shared this morning landed well and helped some people. I certainly encourage you all to go back and listen to this discussion, this exhortation again, because it's very informative, but it's very helpful. And these are things that I had to learn and discover in order to take control of my life, even in trial and tribulation, because what you do in your trial and tribulations will determine how victorious you will be and how sustained or lasting your victory will be when you come out. Now, so, Ashley, what do we have on the books today? What do you have planned?
Wow. You know, I think you should take some callers today, Dr. Price.
No kidding. You know, I woke up today and I thought, you know something very novel on my show. I'll take calls. Okay, put one through. Let's talk to somebody.
Great idea. Okay, now last week, Dr. Price, you slid in a prayer for Devon, and she's actually back on the line. She was first in the queue today, and I appreciate her. She was determined to get her time in. And so, Devon, welcome to the call with Dr. Price.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, give me your name again. Is it Yvonne or Devon?
Devon.
Okay, I want to get it right because, you know, I don't like getting names wrong. Is that D-T or D-K?
D.
Okay. And you're calling me from where?
Texas, ma'am.
Texas. Okay. Are you better or what? Because you don't sound like you're any more enthusiastic.
Yeah, I have my days. I'm excited to talk to you, though, but I have my days.
You had your days. Now, Devon, do you go to work?
I actually do. I'm just off right now. I actually return back on Monday.
Uh-huh. Now, if you're the one I slid in, was this the thing about marriage or was it work for you?
Yes, it was marriage, ma'am.
I thought it was marriage. Am I on it or what? I'm telling you, there are days I am just hot. I told you. I remember it, and believe me, with the week that I've lived, that is a Jesus Christ moment of celebration. Okay, here's what I do want to say to you. I want to ask you while you're back on the line, and then I'm going to say some things to y'all. I pray to get you free.
Okay.
Why are you on the line again this week?
More so clarity in the situation. It's been really rough, and I'm kind of confused on which way to go, or I don't know, honestly. My husband is, like, having issues, I guess, with still wanting to be single or whatever the case may be, and it's just really hard. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, let me tell you this, sweetheart. A bad marriage is the most quiet, secret torment you'll ever have. No matter how many times you discuss the difficulties that you're having with your spouse, it still is only part of the story. Now, not only are we just hearing from you as the wife, and we're not hearing from the husband, so whatever I say to you is coming from that vantage point, but there are all of those unspoken abuses and unspoken wounds that that couples can inflict on each other in the home, in the marriage, just because they're bonded together as one that you can't explain. You know,
right.
There are the tones, the intonations, there are the silent treatments. There are all of those things that spouses inflict on each other to let them know, to let the other one know, I'm unhappy, you're not pleasing me, or I want to punish you. And I'm telling you, in marriage, that spirit of marriage, I call it that spirit of marriage punishment, where you punish each other because they don't please you any longer. That's a horrible experience, and that's the suffering. The suffering, you could almost deal with the words, but the things that they do and then deny. What did you mean by that? I meant nothing. You know they did, because that's the path and the journey that this union is on. So, yeah, it's very difficult to explain, because, you know, if you explain it, when you say, well, all I did was, you know, I fed him dinner, and he just let me know he hated it. Well, did he say he hated it? No. But, see, we weren't there to see the look on the face, to hear the huff, the puff, and all of the other nonverbals that go along with letting someone know what you feel about anything. So that's part of the torment in a marriage. Those nonverbal punishment things that spouses do to each other, that's the part that you can't say, but that's the part that keeps the pummeling going on. And it keeps your soul bleeding. So that is where you are. Now I want to ask you, you say your husband is unsure as to whether or not he wants to be married or single. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Pretty much. I mean, we have our good days and, you know, we spend our days here. Like, we hardly ever argue. It's just the fact that it's just certain things happen where he'll just up and leave or get upset with me saying something and he'll just leave and, like, for like the whole day and not come back to like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How long have you been married?
We haven't even been married for almost a year.
So it's been a year. How long did you all date?
A year, a little over a year.
Okay, so you kind of dated a year, and then you were married in a year. Why did you marry him?
Yeah, because I loved him.
Okay, why did he marry you?
I thought he loved me too.
Right. Now, am I to understand that you're saved and he's saved?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, was he saved when you met him?
Yes, he was.
Was he saved, like, in the church, or was he saved in Sunday school at 5?
No, in the church. He was very much in the church. I think at one point in time, I feel like we both kind of separated from doing what we were supposed to do as far as like our relationship with God, and I think that could be probably something too as well, because we're different in that too, I can say.
Okay, when you say you're different, you're saying you came from two different streams of the faith?
Not just that, it's just that like we both used to talk about God a whole lot and just different stuff like that, and I know I don't feel like my relationship with God has been as strong as it's supposed to be, and I feel the same way with him as well.
Here's what happens, because, see, these are things that people don't tell you. You said, let me get it right, you had a very strong relationship with the Lord before you got married. Is that right?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, and then he had a strong relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Okay, so you both had a strong relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm going to walk with me on this journey, because we're going to have fun, okay? So you had a strong relationship with the Lord. He had a strong relationship with the Lord. Now, while you were dating, did that relationship with God suffer?
I started seeing it kind of dwindle away, like towards once it was time for us to get married, when it got close to that time, I started seeing the difference.
With him or you?
Both of us, like as far as like our relationship with God and stuff like that.
Okay, now when you say you started seeing the difference, what were you seeing that changed?
As far as, like, with me now?
Yeah, you said you saw a difference, so I wanted to know two things I want to know.
I mean,
what you saw and what flagged you?
Just, like, my, you know, prayer life and just different stuff like that I used to do. I wasn't doing it as much. I saw myself spending a little more time with him more than anything, to be honest.
Okay. So now we're going on a journey, so work with me here, okay? So, but now you said you dated for a year, a little over a year. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
During that time, you did not notice your relationship with God waning?
That's what I was saying before. I could tell, like, I really could tell, like, right before we got married, that I could see that where it was kind of, like, dwindling away or going away as far as, like, as much as I used to do and stuff like that.
Now, what about him?
Yes, I started seeing that, too, with him.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm asking you is because there are several ways that we're going to have to look at this. The first one is, that you're saying, you keep saying just before you got married. Are you saying 2 weeks before you got married, 6 months? What are you saying?
I can't give you a pinpoint like far as like how many weeks before, but I just know a little bit before I got married, I was like thinking about it. I'm like, this is kind of weird. I'm not doing. I think one of my friends brought it up too as well, that I wasn't doing as much things as I used to do. I'm like, you know, first I was like, no. And I thought about it. And I'm like, you know what, she's kind of right. So that was what kind of made me think about it. And then the fact of our jobs, you know, we ended up having to separate for a little bit for me to work somewhere else. So
you separated before you got married?
No, a little bit after we got married.
Okay. And so how long was that separation?
For about 4 months.
Oh, Lord. So you only been together 6 months.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay. See, I ask these questions because I want you to start thinking through some things that were indicators so we know where to begin to work this out. So the first thing you notice, let me go back to something, Devon. We talked about, the reason I asked you about when you started during the dating process, when you started realizing that you all spent less and less time on God or whatever, when that happened, see, there's something that triggered that, and you have to figure out what that is. So something triggered that, and you and I both know that that just didn't happen. You don't start out on a date, gee, we just love God, and then we know we're going to drink, we're going to have coffee, and we're going to talk about the Lord, we're going to go to church, we're going to minister together, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, God, when did that's a real flag, and that doesn't happen without a call.
Right.
We both know that, don't we?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. So here's what we're going to have to do. The first thing you have to realize is when you and your fiancé at the time broke covenant with God. Y'all broke fellowship with God. Mm-hmm. That's where you're going to have to go back to. A couple of things are going on here. And I just want you to do it. You know, the beautiful thing about Blog Talk, you'll be able to go back and listen to this again. You're like, I'm not sure if I want to, but bless me, God is there for you. But you too broke covenant with God. You broke fellowship with God. And when you did, you started not feeling it. You all stopped feeling it because God stopped feeling a part of it.
Wow.
Something you did as a couple broke fellowship with God, and he stopped feeling a part of it. So in other words, he no longer was in charge of it, nor was he even invited to have any kind of sentiments or reactions to it. So you see, this particular state of existence you're in right now, that's when that started. Something happened to make your husband feel like he can't have peace in this marriage.
Well, I know when we got ready to separate, pretty much when I went to school or whatever for a little while, it's just we kind of argued back and forth, and then it seemed like after then it was, that's when I feel like it started being kind of how it is now, to where he felt like, he basically told me he kind of missed being single after that, just the fact of us going back and forth and different things like that.
Yeah, you left a newlywed, baby, you left a newlywed husband for 4 months and want to know why he missed being single. But for the first 4 months, he didn't even have to be married.
Right, exactly.
So here's the thing I want you to know. A couple things, because I don't want to belabor this point. A couple things I want you to know. First thing is that you all got married too soon. That's number one. Now, I will tell anybody, if a marriage starts out as rocky as that, first of all, you need it 4 months. We know you got married 4 months too soon because you weren't married for 4 months, you know? Now, if you were military and all of that, that's different because then you would already know the environment, and even that suffers. So, but the thing is, you got married too soon because you got married for the wrong reason. So I'm going to tell you that right now. So you got too soon and you got the wrong reasons. Because here's the thing. You all wanted to be married, but nobody wanted to be a spouse. See, that's when we start talking about marriage counseling, these young folks, people want to be married. I want to be married because I don't want to be alone any longer. I want to be married because I'm tired of the dating scene. I want to be married because I want security in my life. I want to be married because I want my sexual pleasures resolved. I don't want to have to be tempted to sleep around. I want to be, see, those are all lousy reasons to bind yourself to someone else's life.
Right.
I want to be married because I don't want to leave, take your night at night. I don't want to end our date. Because for those reasons, your marriage, you embark upon marriage as if it's an elongated date, not an utter change of life where you become responsible for each other's life. The fact that he can say, I want to be single, he's telling you, I no longer want to be responsible for your life, your security, your happiness, or your stability. and you should have known that. And I'm telling you, you knew it. So you when it came time to be married, you wanted to be yoked, but you didn't want to become custodians of one another's success and journey in life. And that's what marriage is. You know,
see, I didn't mind that. I mean, I honestly feel like I didn't mind doing that. It just feels like now it's different because, like I said before, we were separated all those times, and technically, you're right, we weren't married. And then once I got back and everything to, you know, for us to actually be around each other, it was different because now he had to actually be around and stuff like that. But like I've always, I mean, I've changed a lot of different things around just, you know, for the sake of our marriage. But it's not seeming the same way with him. And
no.
He wants me to give him time. And it's, for me, it's like my crossroad decision is pretty much, you know, giving him time. But him being, you know, in the house, it is pretty much torment because I'm not blind to what things are going on, but it's like it seems like it's always turning around on me to make it seem like I'm not being understanding behind, you know, how he feels.
Well, let me tell you where I'm at, and I'm gonna tell you right now. And I'm not your classic, you know, charismatic wife, and I'm not one that's gonna tell you to suffer in silence. But I'm also not gonna tell you to tear up your marriage because you made a decision. You have to work that out. So you all need some marriage counseling. And that's if he's willing to do it, because if he's got it in his mind, he does not want to be a husband. See, he's not. See, when many times we have to start saying it the way it is. I don't want to be a husband because I don't want to take care of you any longer. I don't want the responsibility of a wife. I want to sleep around. So he's not just violating his marriage. He's violating his faith. Something told him along the way that his faith was wounded or damaged. And there is this whole, well, if I already, you know, the horse is out the barn, I might as well go at it whole hog. So I'm going to pray for you. But I'm telling you, you all need marriage counseling, and you may need some time apart. But you have got to realize that this conversation that we had today is just the tip of the iceberg, because there's a whole lot going on there that I won't say. But it needs to be explored. So my suggestion is that you all find a quality line. So you have to find somebody that's not just religious, because, you know, you get these religious people. The average theology of the church is the wife, suck it up, be quiet, and wait till he gets ready, because we all in that third world mentality in Christendom. That's not going to help you, because you'll die inside, and eventually you're going to do something that's going to cause your life to shipwreck. So we want to pray. I'm going to pray for God to give you the correct and the honest, objective marriage counseling. And I've not met a lot of them in 30 years, because most of them that I've met have had that stilted view of marriage. So that's number one. Number two, you're going to have to find out if your husband is going to do marriage counseling, because if he's committed to not doing marriage counseling, he's already committed to not being in this marriage. So that's something that's your other decision. So you'll know when you start saying we need marriage counseling and I want us to get some marriage counseling. And, you know, if your pastor's objective, I don't know. If your pastor's objective and honest, that's fine. But but that's important. Another thing I'm going to pray for is that God connects him with a strong married Christian man, because there are some men out there that are effective at dealing with his issues. If they can penetrate that thing in a whole different dimension than you could, or probably even I could. So I'm praying for him that God cross paths with him with a man that will help him see where he is and see the selfishness and the short-sightedness of where he is. But I still say there's something that broke his faith in God and broke his sense of security and obligation to God. And that is where we need to go. So I'm praying for this person, first of all, this marriage counselor, and then this guy, and you need a stronger wife. You know, so many times, you know, young people get married, and you're like, what you think is all you see on TV, because television is a horrible, horrible trainer for marriage, because they teach each person to never yield to the other. And they always have this exit clause called divorce. Well, if it doesn't work out, which is divorce. And so that is a whole other issue that you're going to have to deal with, because the spirit of divorce haunts every marriage today, because it's become a principality. It is a dominion over marriage today, so that people are never faithful, never stay happy, never grow up, and never learn to make anything serious work. It's all about the play game. So we're going to pray all of that for your marriage, because some people like it like that. But for your marriage, I'm telling you, you're going to have to go back. I'm going to ask God to tell you what time it was that this man went from meeting God and meeting the Lord and all of that, unless he was faking with you. Now, he could have been faking you out. I don't know. You know, that happened. You know, I just want a wife. I'll say whatever I need to say, whatever. But if that's the case, you should know that too. So I'm going to pray those things for your life. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Father, I thank you so much. Lord, first of all, I thank you for being God, and I thank you for being the God of marriage. I thank you, Lord, that it is your institution, regardless of how the world has distorted and perverted it, it still remains your precious institution. So precious to you, Father God, that you actually patterned your relationship with your church after it. And, Lord, oftentimes we think, my goodness, if we just had the ideal model of marriage, we would get it. Well, God, you have given us that. You've been a great husband to your church. You've been a great spouse to your wife. And so, God, if we just paid attention to that, we would take this thing into just leagues and leagues of development and evolution. So I'm asking you to do that. Now, God, I lift up Devon to you and the broken heart and the disappointment that she has. God, it is tragic. The bleeding of her soul right now is tragic. I'm asking, first of all, God, that you reach in and touch her soul, that you mend her broken heart, God, that you take the fear and terror out of her soul and the sense of despair and your futility that is stalking her every day. I'm asking that you would do that, to give her mind back and to bring her back into that place with you. And, Lord, I'm asking that you show her that this is not punishment from you. This is consequence of decisions, and that we would all, as the body of Christ, know the difference between punishment and consequence, chastening and consequence. Lord, that we would know it and understand the fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness you intend to bring out of it. Now, Lord, I speak to the spirit and the soul of this husband. God, you know him. He is your son. You know him. And you know what's driving him, and you know what's motivating him. First of all, God, I ask that you come again, that you really deliver him from the fear of marriage and the fear of husbandry. Because, God, there's a panic on his soul. So I come against this piccolo chapter, that panic that's on his soul, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I'm asking that you bring him back into that encounter. Lord, the next time he sits in that bar and he sits in that place, you ask him, what are you doing and why are you here? And, God, I thank you that you begin to heal him and to mature him, Lord, to even take that little boy's fear out of his heart and begin to put the spirit of manhood in him. And, Lord, I'm thanking you. It's not just maturity, but put the spirit of manhood in his soul in Jesus' name, that he can see the situation from more than his own vantage point, from more than his own anger and his own angle. And I thank you for doing that. Now, God, I speak into this marriage, and I rise up in my seat of authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I face off with you divorce, and I say, you cannot have this one. I snatch this marriage off your altar in the name of Jesus. You will not receive this marriage as a death sacrifice to Satan. I command this thing to leave the altar of divorce, and I move it over to the altar of our faithful high priest, equitable chapter, Jesus Christ. And I say to you, you may not destroy this. Every spirit, every force, every maneuver, every machination you've used to tear this thing up, I fire it right now, and I expire those assignments, and I null and void those contracts with doom and divorce. And God, I thank you that you put this thing in the institution of marriage according to the kingdom of God. I put this thing into the spirit of marriage, that God, this union can be healed. Now I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to begin to heal this thing, to begin to touch it and to bend them and to literally yoke them. God, they were not bound on the day they gave their vows. They did not enter the spirit of marriage, though they entered covenant. But I'm asking you now, God, to marry them in the spirit, to marry them in the flesh, to marry them in their souls, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, when you do it, let them know it's a gift and that you're doing it out of mercy. that you would bear, that this would bear fruit. So, God, I command the wandering spirit on this young man to loose him and let him go free. And, God, I thank you for doing it all. Ekoro boshata in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you, young woman.
God bless you, too.
Keep in touch. My prayers work. So you can, let me just tell you, you don't get so in love in this suffering that you don't bring yourself out of this. Okay? Because you're kind of romancing this whole idea of being wrong. I need you to come up out of that. Shake it off. Make yourself cheerful. That alone will help. Bring something positive in your home environment. If you think my prayer works, then I need you to change your demeanor and your sound. Start sounding like this word. I don't care what you say, devil, you're a liar. This thing is mine. You're either going to be positive or you're going to be divorced.
Amen.
So shake it off and stop. Come out of that self-pity. You know, I have to say this to some people sometimes. And, you know, you come up out of that because you're either going to rise up and fight for it or you're going to let it die. But it's only going to be on you. So when I hear you again, and I will hear from you again, you're not going to have that because, see, this here thing that you're doing, the way you're sounding, nobody want to come home to that. Come on, act like you are in control. Anybody want to come home to that? I'll be staying out myself. Create a warm environment for your husband to want to come home, you know? And you can. And when he walks in, you already know it's not going to change overnight. Don't go in, start with the nagging. Act like this thing worked. Either I prayed or I didn't. And either you call me because you think I have power in prayer or you don't. And if you think I do, then you conform your behavior, your demeanors, and your expression to that prayer. Are we clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Thank you. And perk up because nobody want to come home to some depressed woman. You cannot make this man think you want this marriage to work and you're already holding a funeral for it.
Okay.
Cheer up. We'll talk soon. God bless you.
God bless.
Ashley.
Well, praise the Lord.
Help us, Lord.
Tell it like it is, Dr. Paula Price.
Help us, God. That's all I can say. Oh, Jesus. Well, tell me that you have some sort of announcement, some sort of break, so we can switch off to the next caller.
Yes, yes, and yes. We'll be right back after a few moments.
Amen.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions.
as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today. Within the business world, assessments have been used for years to make decisions about personal development, hiring, managing, promoting, and leading others. But what about God's business? What can His leaders use to assess their ministries and churches? The answer is PPM Global Resources Standardized Ministry Assessment. Have your ministry organization assessed to find out what kind of church or ministry you have, if you and your organization are on the same page and compatible, how willing and able your members are to take on the vision the Lord gave you, if you have the right people in position to achieve that vision, and if you can help your congregation or organization get into their purpose. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today and click on Group Assessment for more information and to get your ministry organization started. Or call 877-419-1299 to speak with a representative. PPM Global Resources. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
All right, we are back with our second hour with the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, are you revived?
Hey, listen, you know, sometimes you just need to shift. I would like to say something, actually, to our callers today. When I was praying for this young woman, I was wanting to take the prayer one thing, and I'm speaking now particularly to our church leaders and our intercessors. So if you're an intercessor, kind of, you know, key into this. And as I was praying, God opened up, and I saw this marriage on an altar. And it was on the altar of divorce, and this thing was working. And I saw it like it was licking its lips, rubbing its hands. There was, you know, a whole lot going on. And I realized that you're going to have to pray a lot of these marriages because our culture has given marriage to the spirit of divorce in general. Hear me. And the church has bought into it that these marriages start out on the altar of divorce. And I think rushing into marriages, being hasty about who you choose, just following cultural trends and cultural conduct and behaviors in your marriage before marriage, all of that ends up being sacrifices that doom your union before you get started. I cannot express enough. Now, this is not my forte, but I cannot express enough how important it is for us today to have godly, kingdom, biblical, conscious marriage counselors in the church on the behalf of Jesus Christ, because you have to deal with those things. We want to start off at who pays bills, whether you put your name on the checkbook or not. We want to start off at, well, who holds the purse strings, who wears the pants, all of that. That's after stuff. You got to start off at the consciousness of this culture in relation to marriage in general, to divorce, to dating, male-female relationships. We've got to deal with that because all of that comes in. You know, it's that zeitgeist of the culture that's coming in. So when they walk down the aisle, you've got all of that to deal with. If you don't have effective marital training and cleansing, premarital cleansing, if you don't get that, that psychology begins to work the minute you say I do and go home to set up housekeeping. And so we don't think about that because, you know, words have powers in this. And you know, the majority does rule unless we change it. And so you've got church people, Christians, doing the exact same thing that the world is doing, hoping their marriages are going to be more successful than the marriages of the world. Well, if you're following the model that's flawed and failed, then obviously you have doomed your marriage to fail. So maybe we need to find out what the next one is. I am not a marriage counselor by any stretch of the imagination. I don't pretend to be. I have been a pastor. I've pastored and shepherded people in marriage as far as that goes. And I've had pretty good success in saving and restoring. But I don't start at the domesticity of it. I start at the psychology of it, the mindset. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so many times, for example, a person who has dated a lot of people has not learned relationships. They've learned how to hunt inspect and examine and separate. Dating teaches you how to separate quick, fast, and in a hurry more than it teaches you how to relate. And so that's a mindset. So now we take that same mindset into marriage, and it's like, oh, man, you're just a bad date. I'm just out. Oh, well, I tell you what, I'm just going to dump you and get someone else. We have a lot of things that we bring into that institution called marriage that guarantees its doom. And I would say to all of you who are listening today, again, I'm saying it now just as a pastor, just as a minister of the gospel, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it by any stretch of the imagination as a marriage counselor, but I'm telling you, your marriage is a doom before you start because of your culture. And because of your mindset and the practices that you've had leading up to it. And if you want to do that, if you're going to get into marriage counseling, if you want to get into marriage, you need to get into marriage counseling, and you need to find a counselor who understands that reality. Because while you're standing there, I'm going to spend all of this money for a day. Because, see, that's a whole other thing, too. You put all your emphasis on a day. That day you get married. You never realize, okay, now we have to go home. Now, what TV show is going to speak into your marriage? What magazine is going to speak into your marriage? What experience? What friend's counsel? What seminar you went and see? All of that is what you take into this union. And you have to make sure that what you're taking into your union is for its success and not its demise. That's just a free exhortation. Hope it helps somebody. Ashley.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. I mean, you can tell that we are really brainwashed to buy into the dating culture and the dating mentality, because we have convinced ourselves that somehow the more relationships you run through, the better pick you are for somebody. Well, oh, so you haven't been in any kind of relationships? A lot of people think that that's a negative thing. And not that it's the complete opposite, that, well, you can't keep a relationship because you are 25, 30 years old, and you go through one or two relationships every year, every 2 years, every 3 years.
And that's since you were kids, because we teach you as kids how to like, dislike, lie about people, dump people, dump folks. I mean, we have mastered destruction of relationships, and then we wonder why marriages fail. There's nothing about longevity. We don't even teach that. We rush in, we rush out, and that's the culture, and that's fine. You know, so I don't want to turn this into, you know, I don't want to turn this into a marriage thing, because, you know, that's not my thing. But I will say this much, because it's important that you hear: how conditioned are you to keep what you are trying to pursue? Because that's the question you want to answer. Am I conditioned to keep it? Or am I conditioned to test it, to sample it, and to rid myself of it when it fails to meet my expectations?
Amen. Now, wow. All I'm saying is your Facebook is lit up right now, and so you're preaching the gospel truth here. We have people screaming online and talking about this woman is telling nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, nothing but the truth again. Your apostle known to say, where was this apostle 20 years ago? Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, my prayer today, and if you are listening and you are a marriage counselor, some of you may already be doing this. If you are, I applaud you. I celebrate you. But if not, understand that we might need to back up where we begin the corrective or readiness process, and begin where people believe, because the belief system that people have are no longer just mom and dad at home. You know, many people before, actually, you know, they believe mom and dad. Mom and dad stayed married for 30 years. They good times, bad times. Well, half of these folks, first of all, mom and dad weren't married, so we don't have a model. Secondly, mom and dad decided they were sick of marriage. That's another poor model. And then we got all of the aunties and the uncles. They didn't like it either. And so this whole culture is meant to meet, marry, and divorce. And we have to somehow or another reverse that trend. So I'm going to go on. Give me another call.
Yes, ma'am. All right. We have actually a Tulsa caller. I have to go hunt who was next in line, Dr. Price. I think his line dropped, and so I need to find him again. So while you're talking to Tiffany from Tulsa, that is what I'm going to do. She has a calling. She does have a calling, I'm sure. But she has a question about How do I know I'm walking in my purpose? So, Tiffany, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Yes, hi. How you guys doing?
We're fine. How are you, Tiffany?
I'm doing well. I just had a question about purpose. I am really trying to focus in on the reason why God created me. I'm a wife and a mom. I have two young kids, and I know that my focus right now should be, you know, with my husband and my kids and stuff. But also I feel a pull towards ministry, and sometimes I feel like my heart is pulled in both directions. You know, sometimes you have expectations for your life that you will be further along than you really are right now. And I just want to make sure that I'm walking in purpose. And I guess I really don't know how to assess where I am and where I need to go.
Okay. So, Tiffany, can I ask you a question? How old are you now and how long have you been married?
I'll be 29 on Monday. And
well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Me and my husband have been married for 5 years.
So you've been married for a while, and your children are how old right now?
3 and 5.
Okay, so you have a long way to go to get to 18, don't you, babe?
Yes.
Woo! Sis, you got a journey to go.
It's just starting.
Oh my God! Yeah, you're early, and I remember those early days. Are you in ministry now, or were you in ministry before you got married?
No, we weren't. We actually met at Rhema, and then we did that, and we're finished with Rhema since 06. And, you know, we've always felt a call to ministry, like God wanted to use us together in some capacity. But I guess, you know, we really haven't tapped into anything. At my church, I mean, I sing on the praise team and work in the children's church, but that's about it. And my husband was like an usher, but that's it.
Well, is your husband feeling the same tug, or is this a tug you have and he is trying to figure out how to make a living for his family?
I believe he has a tugging as well for the ministry, but he really doesn't share as openly as I would like him to. I guess if he receive a word from somebody, he kind of like to put it on his shelf to see, you know, if it'll come to pass before he actually discuss it with me.
Well, probably because he knows you're going to say, see, honey, see, baby, I told you. See, the Lord is telling me I was right the first time, so baby, we have to just, let's just drop everything and go and do ministry. He's like, no, hold it, babe, hold on. Hold on.
Yeah, that's true. That is me, and that's exactly him. Exactly.
And you know what? You need him because you will go down the road and around the corner. Here's what I yes, you will. You know you will, baby, because you know what? A couple of things are moving you right now, and I want you to just be open. First of all, I do invite you and your husband both to take my assessment, drpaulaprice.com. I refer everybody to those because they do give you some fundamental answers. But one element of the assessment gives you your readiness score. How ready are you? We can feel more ready than we are.
Okay.
And so it gives you a readiness score, and it lets you know how many years it will take for you to be ready to do what God wants. So I suggest that both you and your husband take it. It's a wonderful experience. Comes with an advisement, 30-minute advisement. You'll love it. It's great. Now, having said that, I want to say to you that you are you home with your kids or are you working?
I work overnight. I'm with them during the day. My 3-year-old just got accepted in school, so he'll be going with my daughter during the day on the 19th of August.
Okay. Here's what I want you to know. Number one, working in the children's church and singing in the praise team, they are both ministry. They are ministry, unless you're doing it because you want to fill in time. But if you're doing it because you feel like you're bringing something to the Lord, offering your abilities to God, then they need to fill in time. That's number one. Number two, your husband is not mentioning ministry for a reason. He is not ready. He wants to be a husband. He wants a family. He wants to enjoy God. He wants to do the Sunday thing. He wants to do whatever the little usher thing that he was doing. He does not want another responsibility on his life.
Yeah.
And you pushing the issue is not helpful. That's
okay.
Number two. okay? It's not, because he's not ready for it. He wants to be a husband. He wants to build his family. He wants to see that this guy is hoping he can get his children to adulthood safely.
Yeah.
Okay? He's working hard at that, and that's a big deal in his heart. It's a very big deal for your husband to have successful children and a successful marriage, and you know that.
Yes.
So stop pushing him to add to his plate. He's already got this. However way he grew up, this is a big deal for him. And
yes.
You are pushing him because you're frustrated. And you're frustrated because you're either listening to somebody or you think that a ministry dream is going to happen. Your ministry right now, and I don't say this to every wife, because the one thing they're going to tell you about Paula Price, I'm not canned. I don't give canned answers. I don't believe that just because God called a husband, the wife is automatic. I don't believe that just because God calls a wife, the husband is automatic. I don't believe that. I think that's a crazy teaching in the kingdom. But I do know this much. You need to be a wife.
Okay.
And you need to enjoy the time you have with your children, because it's going to go very fast and you're going to regret it. And your kids, here's what your marriage needs, because you have it's strong. It's going to work. Your marriage is very strong. You're going to need to enjoy vacations. You plan vacations. You want to go and you want to volunteer at some health center, or you want to volunteer at some ministry center. You do that. But you are not ready to do what you think you're ready to do, because it's not your time. Your time is more closer to your 40.
Okay.
Let me tell you why. Because your son is not what you think. He's going to need you home, or need you accessible.
Yes, and yes, because he's been having some behavior issues with tantrums and stuff like that. And so I don't know if it's like a spirit of rebellion, but he's really been cutting up lately too.
Well, you need to spend a little more. You might need to get that examined. Maybe he's bored. But I'm telling you, you need to be accessible to your children. Your family is not going to be a ministry. You did not marry into a family that can sustain you being in ministry before they're ready to stand on their own 2 feet. That is your marriage standing on its own 2 feet, your motherhood standing on its own 2 feet, and just you in general. So I understand, especially when you go to school, because I understand the spirit of these schools, and all you know is that, wow, this is great. Oh, man, we're going to do things together, and you tend to romanticize it more than you realize what it really takes. And so I need you to move out of the romanticizing piece, get out of that fantasy, and get into the reality. You are running ahead of God. Trust me on this word. I can say this to you apostolically. I can say it to you prophetically. Sit back, enjoy your family. You want to go out. And here's something that we'll tell you. You and your husband need to work on it. Your family is going to need vacations a lot. Your kids need you all pouring into them a great deal. Now, some kids are very strong, very independent. Other kids are not. Other families are not. But I will say to you, your marriage cannot sustain ministry right now.
Okay. Okay.
See, wasn't that easy?
Yes, it was.
Hallelujah. Take care of your husband. He needs you to do what you're doing. He relies on you doting on him. He needs that. That's the kind of man you marry. Hey, and it's working. Y'all have been making it work for 5 years. I believe you can make it work for 35 more.
Amen.
So put this aside. God will let you know when it's time. And, you know, and also whoever your friends are that's talking, they don't have your life. They don't have your responsibility. So stop those conversations.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Just stop that and enjoy your wifehood. Because let me tell you, your family, your kids are going to grow up very quickly, and you're going to miss it. And you have a good family.
Yes. I agree. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me pray, baby. I don't let you go without prayer. You know, we got to put prayer.
Yes.
Father, thank you so much for Tiffany. And, God, I thank you for their marriage. This is a young couple that's going to do well. They're going to do well in your kingdom. They're going to be strong and vibrant and raise good children. And so, God, I thank you for that. I thank you for knitting them together with the bond of perfection, which is your love. I thank you, Lord, that they understand each other and that this is of you. And, God, I thank you for giving her peace. Now, Lord, when she gets bored and frustrated because she's so talented and she's so gifted, Lord, give her little assignments that she can do along the the way to let her know that you're not forgetting her, you're not shelving her, but you are going to use her, but you need to build certain things in her and in her family. I thank you for the continued peace and the continued harmony of their household. In Jesus' name, let prosperity be around them and all through their lives. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I really do. Thank you.
Thank you too, beloved. Hey, listen, be happy because it's going to be great.
Yes, thank you.
Hallelujah. Ashley.
Yes, Tiffany is so sweet. I usually will bump into her in Walmart if I see her.
You know, I don't even, I don't know who, but you know what I like? Every now and then when I get to do this, I look into a marriage and I say, now this one here, this thing is going to work. They have just the cutest little marriage. It's just going to work.
Yes. And I've only met her and her children, actually her just her oldest child. So, yeah. And you have too. Once I show you a picture, you'll say, oh, but it's been a long time.
But you, and you know me, and I see everybody's anonymous on the call. I love this.
Oh, yeah. I know you have no idea who you were talking to.
No, I don't. I don't, but you know what? It's not even important that I do. It's God.
No. Okay. I love it.
Okay. So what I got? What do I have on the line?
Okay, you have Frances from Texas. She had a most interesting dream, and it was about you. And so, Frances, welcome to the line.
Hi.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
I'm good, Dr. Price. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to hear your voice. You have a dream for me?
Oh, yes. The reason why I'm calling in is when waking up this morning, I was waking out of a dream, and in the dream it was the Paula Price show, but it was in a talk show format, and I was receiving a call from Dr. Price. And that's how I walk the shoes. Well, let me call.
Well, I appreciate that. So, now, you called. What was on your mind?
I really, just prayer in general. I mean, I have a, this will be, so I'm just going to keep it open.
Okay.
I have a lot on the table.
You do. Hey, Frances, do you have a business?
Yes, that's what's on the table.
Okay. Well, because I just see a business opportunity that is very, very challenging, but it is not bad. You don't like a lot of pressure at once because you like to walk things out systematically, line upon line, precept upon precept, not only because that's your basic nature. It's your adulthood because in your younger years, that wasn't you. And so right now, you want to lay it out. So I hear the Holy Ghost saying, plan, plan, plan. Plan, plan, plan. In other words, the concerns you have are valid, but they're not valid enough for you to stop. They're valid enough because they're checked to tell you to go back and investigate what it is that you're not seeing and what God is doing. So that's the first thing. I don't know. I see children around you, and what I think that that's the other issue that you're going to deal with. So I don't know if the business pertains to children or if these are your own children, but I tell you the whole other thing with kids is very important that you take nothing for granted. I just hear God say, take nothing for granted in the industry that you're entering.
Okay.
Okay, so and now I tell you something else I see God is telling you, and just one more thing, because, you know, you do have a lot on the table. My God, we could be on the phone for an hour. But the other thing is that we really can. I'm telling you, because you've got that much going on. But the other thing I want to tell you, Frances, and that is I do see travel there too. And that's good because you get bored very easily. And so I do see travel. And God says to tell you as I end this, don't be afraid to reach beyond your sphere.
Okay.
You know, the comfort zone for you is safe because I've told you, you got to know the end from the beginning before you begin. And God, that doesn't always work. So you're going to do well in your business. You're going to have a – it's going to be uphill, but it's not a steep hill. It'll just be an incline. because what you've lived back up, coming up to this, you live a lot of life. And so what you've lived coming into your business venture, coming into your family life, coming even to your career and your community, because this is very community tied, all of those things have helped you have a good framework, a good frame of reference for what it is you're going to do. So trust that experience. Trust your trials, trust your failures, and trust your triumphs, because they're going to work for you.
Okay. Great.
Now,
okay.
So do you want me to pray for your business?
Most definitely, because every day I'm thinking about shutting it down.
Nope.
I mean, the last 2 days I was up. I finally got some sleep last night. I was literally up for it, trying to work things out.
Well, honey, let me tell you this. I can tell you this because I have lived it. Whenever the pressure is like that and God moves as supernaturally as he moved with you, he's telling you your turnaround is around the corner. And you're going to regret not going on and riding this out a few more days.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, you haven't made the connection that you need. You need a particular connection. Now, may I suggest to you that you call my office after this show today and set up with Ashley some time for us to talk.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, I don't know when you're available or whatever. Set it up with her. But I'm going to pray right now. God, I thank you, thank you, thank you for this woman. God, I thank you for Frances. First of all, God, I thank you that she's a fighter and a warrior. I thank you for the fight that she's won and the bouts that she's lost, because all of which are adding to her wisdom today. God, I come against the spirit of failure, but I also come against the spirit of oppression that has decreed failure. God, some family member has not approved of this and is gnawing in her psyche. So, God, I'm asking that you would shut that down in her mind and cause her to hear from you and to understand you and to move according to your word, no matter what it looks like. And, God, I thank you that you've given her a fearless spirit, but now we raise up that fearlessness on her, and we raise up those shields of defense that you have for her, that she will not miss the opportunity that you've set up for her to fulfill destiny. For surely, woman of God, that opportunity is en route, and God wants you to hold on just a little longer because he's going to make it happen. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
Yes. That was good. Stay in the game. Stay in the game.
Yeah. But you know, but hey, listen, we've been in this thing a long time, Ashley. We know sometimes that quick thing is so much on you, it won't let you sleep, won't let you eat. It connects you with all of its trophies. You know, when the spirit of give up is on you, you will meet all of the trophies of that it has won before you. And so you'll meet all the people that it may quit before it got to you, so that you think all of those are confirmations, and they're not.
Mm.
And I love God. When God wants something, he breaks through barriers to make happen what he wants.
That's good.
Hallelujah. He's the sugar.
Are
come
you
on,
ready
give me
for
another...
your next?
Yeah. I, don't you feel me? I'm hot.
Yeah. All right, we actually have another local caller today. This is Cheryl. You know Cheryl. She has a question for you about her employment. She wants to know why she cannot find a job. So, Cheryl, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, Prophet. Hi, Dr. Price. How are you today?
I'm
on fire.
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm struggling.
How are you?
I'm trying to figure out why I'm having such a hard time finding a job. The length of time it's taking. Originally, I thought I was just putting things out there for God to work with and then waiting on him. At this point, it's taking so long that I'm wondering if there's something that I'm doing wrong.
Well, you know, now you realize, Cheryl, that our audience, our listening audience, doesn't know how close you and I are, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it's very difficult for me to answer you in this particular venue, knowing what I know. Is that right?
Okay.
Are you there?
So yeah.
I'm going to answer you, but you know that you, and I was just on Facebook last week. You know, can you believe it? Every now and then I hop on there. and you were putting out a call for other people to let you know where jobs were. Do you remember that posting?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you remember the woman asked you the question about what happened to your last job?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here's where God is with you. You are going to have to make up your mind that what you imagine and what is available are not always the same. You're going to have to remember that God is not going to play with us. God is not going to play with us when he keeps giving us and 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 we keep not moving on. Now, you've had a lot of opportunities. God has, you're going to have to prove to God that he can take you seriously. Now, I can pray you into a job, but I'm telling you, that's not the answer. Your job is not your issue. The issue is, what is it that makes you want to throw away his blessings when he gives them to you?
Right, I do feel like I've been working on that this time since the last job. I don't know how much progress I've made, but I think I've been working on it, hopefully, daily.
But you understand that in the things of God, and I don't think you're wrong because I do believe you're working on it, but here's the thing that I want to tell you. I spoke to a woman. Let me just tell you this in the form of a story, if I can. I had a woman that was in my life who's been a very, very close person to me. And so this particular woman had also difficult times, but always can land pretty good jobs. She reached an age in her life where she landed two plum jobs, too. Now, both of them, I prayed in. They were both, I mean, when I say plum, they were plum. I prayed them in. But when I prayed in the second one, this is the word that God gave. This is the last time I'm going around to give you this level. Now, if you don't hold on to this, I'm not going to move to do this for you again. Here's why. Because in order for me to do that, I've got to bump something else out of that spot because you're my child and I'm honoring my covenant with you. Now, I want to say to you that when we continue to make God do the same thing over and over again, we lose credibility with God. We lose credibility in the spirit. And even though we make up our minds to fix that problem, it doesn't go away right away. What you've built up in the spirit takes time to be overwritten. It's like the person who's on drugs for a lot of years. Okay, well, I just came out of rehab. Everybody get happy. I just came out of rehab. Ha, ha, ha. Well, no, we done struggled with you for 15 years. It's going to take a lot to turn that thing around. And so I'm going to pray for you to get a job. But I'm telling you, you and God, there's no more wiggle room for this. There just is none. Okay?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Now, what is that background noise?
Oh, my sliding glass door is open. I think it's probably a lawnmower. Let me shut it real quick.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Better?
Let's play. Yes. Father, thank you for Cheryl. And I thank you, Lord, that she's your daughter. I'm asking that you dig in her soul, Father God, and get those childhood things and those young adult things that keep rising up and suffocating her success, suffocating her progress in her future. I'm asking, God, that you would have mercy on her one more time in this matter and create a place for her sovereignly, for her to go to work, God, because she has no one else to take care of her, and she has no one else to meet her needs but you. You are it. So as her Father in heaven, I'm asking for mercy and compassion that you would give her an opportunity, God, no matter how sternly you must admonish her, so that this woman could take care of her needs and not be homeless and not suffer the plight of the unemployed in your house. So, God, I thank you for doing it. I lift up the spirit of famine on your employment, and I put an opportunity before you in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, Cheryl, I'm telling you, I don't care if you hate it. I don't care if they hate you. This is your thing. You're going to have to press through.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you, beloved.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Are you there?
I am here.
You know, I ask you because, you know, you get real silent on me. So, and I know you're also filtering calls at the same time. So, yeah, and I want to celebrate your multitasking. You know, you're really good at that.
Praise God.
So, do you have another call for me?
I have another call for you. This is Eric on the line from Illinois, and he would like prayer for his business. Eric, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. My name is Derek. I'm sorry.
Derek. Okay.
Yeah.
Derek, didn't we talk?
Yes, we did, Dr. Price. We sure did.
You have such a distinctive voice. That's why I remember, because your voice is very, very distinctive. You're very articulate, and you're very emphatic when you speak. So that's why I remember. Talk to me about your business.
Well, Dr. Price, I've been self-employed for quite some time. And first of all, let me say I thank God for you and Ashley and the things that you do. I took the assessment and on two occasions over a span of 2 years, I believe. And they hit so close to home that they kind of angered me a little bit because how does somebody know me that well, just by taking an assessment? But I thank God for them, But I want to say I've been self-employed for quite some time, and it seems like my business is just kind of struggling. I'm a sower, I'm a tither, I love to give, I love to serve in the body of Christ, but it seems like my business is just at a standstill.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you, is your business at a standstill because of the economy in your region?
It very well could be because I'm in the construction remodeling, type of business.
Okay. So
yeah.
Because I'm thinking, in your area, and I don't know your area, I'm just asking because I've been reading up in different areas throughout the country, but I'm thinking in your area that might well be the case. You might want to do a couple of things while you're doing it. One of the things I want to say to you, Derek, and even to the people who are joining us today, the Bible says time and chance happen to us all. That means we're going to have good times and bad times. But when we have good times or bad times, or whatever, well, let's just say this, when our good times turn to bad times, what we need to do is have a plan B. Like in your case, you might want to find out what alternatives you can do, who you can team up with, whether or not you are eligible for grants or putting bids out for various contracts. But God is saying to me that this is just a storm you're riding out. And that you want to find your plan B to ride out the storm. This is a storm. Before you arrive the highway, highway's got a little flooded. Now you need to row a boat. So let's figure out how you want to row that boat. Instead of just continually, because sometimes we as Christians and church folks, we have been programmed to just doggedly hang on, keep doing it, just hang on doggedly. But I just hear God saying to you, evaluate your other opportunities. If you woke up tomorrow and said, tomorrow morning you woke up and something happened, you could not do this any longer, and somebody says this is going to be on hold for 6 to 12 months, okay, what would you do? Now, after you got beyond panic, what would you do? You'd have to have a plan B.
Okay, well, I've been working what I know to do because it's worked for me for years, so I guess plan B would be in order to, devise a plan.
Yeah, you have to devise a plan B to ride out the storm, whether that means linking up with somebody for a period of time or offering to do things at a greatly reduced rate, which usually, with temporary, it can't help too long. But I just see that there is another connection God wants to make with you. I see that you need a connection, but that God is setting you up to take the connection because in your strength, you wouldn't have done it. So I hear God saying to you, there's another deal. And this deal is one that you would not have considered even remotely if you weren't in dire straits. But because of where you are right now, God can set you up for the new thing and the advanced thing he wants to do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because how it is. We started by ourselves. Come on, Derek. We start by ourselves. We're our own boss. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. You know how it is. And it's working. But when God wants to expand us or enlarge us, or he wants to use our resources for another venture or project that he's doing, now this is what I'm hearing for you, he wants to use your resources and your expertise for another venture or project that he's doing, as well as expand you, enlarge your abilities, and he can't get you to do it any other way because you won't come across the table. They don't know you, but the other person has. So God is getting you ready to receive the next opportunity he has. And he said, and he's doing, this is what he gives me. He said, and he's making you flexible. He said, and when this happens, when this door opens, be flexible.
Okay. I heard that before.
No, because you know that's not you, Derek. No, no, I ain't gonna do flexible. Come on. I know how God gave me, that's how I work, that's how I am. But I hear God saying to you, be flexible because it's gonna happen. I have had, God has done, even recently, I've had what I would call insignificant encounters or things that God told me to do that I would never do, but I did it out of flat-out obedience. And then once I did that thing, the reverberation from it was that it caused this person to, first of all, it put me on somebody's mind that I would not have ordinarily been on, and then it caused the person to refer me into something else. So sometimes, you know, we stay in our own niche so long that we don't get a chance to stretch out or branch out. And what I hear the Holy Ghost saying to you is that I want to branch you out. And I want to branch you out of your comfort zone. And I want to cause you to meet with the opportunities that I've set up because there's just only one way for him to do this with you. So I'm going to pray because we want to expedite this opportunity. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to be willing to think differently and to respond differently from how you've always done things.
All right. You want me to do that?
Yeah, he kind of got you ready, huh? God's got you a little bit on the ropes because I know that's what he did with me. You know, he'll put you on the ropes and you're like, okay, whatever. Just whatever, God, you know. And so, Father, I thank you so much. First of all, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to minister to your people this way and to speak into their situations as your purpose and your destiny. And, Lord, to offset crises that life and chance and devils would want for them so that your people stay on task, stay in purpose, and stay the course. So I thank you for that. This is a wonderful privilege for me and a great opportunity. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would give Derek the other pieces. He has to come up with a plan B. So I'm thanking you, God, that when he sits down in that chair at his table tonight, that you yourself will begin to speak into his situation. He'll hear you, God, and he'll scratch it out and make notes and know that this is what you're telling him to do. God, I thank you that he knows today you're not causing him to quit, to shut his doors, but you're calling him to vary what he's doing and, Lord, to branch out. And you're causing him to be set and mentally and psychologically prepared for this new connection and this new opportunity, this great opportunity that you have for him. So I thank you for blessing him for doing it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we expedite the process. God, we remove every obstacle out of the way. We remove every setback out of the way. We, Lord, right now to mobilize every false door and every false spirit so that nothing but what you set up is what he encounters. And we cause them to cross paths with each other quickly in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Cross.
You're very, very welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Doc.
Ashley?
Yes. Yes.
Are you set? Huh?
I'm here.
I know you can't leave because if you leave, I'll be putting out a clarion call. It just won't be pretty, you know?
No, and I'm sure it will make radio history somewhere.
Positive. Listen, I think that I can take one more call and then we'll go to our announcement. What do you think?
I think that's great. Let's do it. We have Bridget from Arkansas on the line, and she is calling. You know, in reference to what you addressed earlier in the show, she said, about healing. And I do want to say, Bridget, to make sure if you're listening to the show through something else, to turn it down in the background.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello,
Hi,
Dr. Price. How are you?
I am great. How are things in Arkansas?
Well, the sun is shining today. We had a few rainy days, but today is great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. How can I help you today, Bridget?
Well, I was listening to you earlier when you first got on, and you were talking about how, you know, we as a people sometimes when we go through certain things, we allow it to hinder us, stop us from doing, you know, we get at a standstill. And I feel like things happened to me a couple years ago, and it was a couple more years after that, some things happened in ministry. I shut down. I shut down from the world. I shut down from the church. I quit my job. I mean, I just lost it. And so I'm trying to find out where, you know, where I can start to regain, even with my relationship with the Lord. There's time after time I talk to him, but time after time I do not, you know. So I'm wanting that back, you know, where I was with him.
Well, I can't blame you because I know you miss him. You know, those of us who are real, you know, we real kids of God. We miss God, you know. And don't be a prophet and don't dream. Oh, my God. We're like, God, what happened?
You know, amen.
You know, because, boy, when God pulls back, it can be a very empty and very narrow place. So, first of all, I'm glad to be able to talk with you about this. For you, this is essential. I'm going to tell you the first thing to begin. First of all, I'm going to tell you to take my assessment if you haven't. Because you need
okay.
to.
I
need you to do that because you need answers. And you're not a woman who will just take pat answers. That doesn't work for you, which is why those two ordeals you went through, you couldn't get solid answers. And people were giving you canned answers and cliches, and that wasn't working for you because your relationship with God and your is very profound. You are accustomed to God going deep with you and being very open, but also very very explanative with you, and he does. And then all of a sudden you didn't. So that's the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is take your assessment because that's going to help you. The second thing I'm going to tell you to do is that you have to take God off the hook because you hurt his feelings. And we want to think about God because he's almighty, he's all-powerful. We act like he doesn't have any feelings. Now, he can manage his feelings so that they don't overflow to someone else. So he can judge one person, bless a new baby coming in, start a new ministry, empower a new minister, and still be wounded by the person that he's been walking with closely and intimately for a while, and then go on to open up a new business someplace else. Because that's why he's God, because nothing is impossible for him. But just because nothing's impossible for him doesn't mean you can't grieve his spirit. See, when I say you hurt his feelings, people get that. I say grieve his spirit, and then people go on theological on me. Oh, yeah, that's why we can't grieve the spirit of God. Yeah, but read up what grief means. Grief is wounded. And so in your woundedness, you wounded the spirit of God. Now, God is a forgiving God because you're his daughter. And I'm going to tell you right now, he loves you, and he has missed you. But God is not going to just allow you to kick him to the curb every time life happens to you. That is offensive. Because God says to you, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify means don't lump him in with your problems. Don't include God in your rages. Don't include God in your resentments and your anger. And don't punish God because you can't punish the people who hurt you. And that's a maturity statement, Bridget. That's just mature. We've all been there. I'm telling you, I can speak it. You know, I can speak into this because I've lived it. But you're going to have to go back, and you're going to have to take full responsibility for casting blame on God for something he had nothing to do with because he didn't have anything to do with that. He said, I'm here to be your help and your solution, not your whipping post. I've already done the scapegoat thing. I don't have to do that again. So that's the next thing. After that, and believe me, until that happens, you're not going to feel good anyway because, you know, you really love the Lord. I'm telling you, this is messing with you. But you've had a tantrum, and you've loved sitting there having a tantrum. And I'm glad you called because there are a lot of us out there, trust me, that are having tantrums with God and blaming God for things that he didn't do. And here's why we blame God, just so you can get yourself, you can wrap your intelligence, because you are that, wrap your intelligence around this thing psychologically. You blame God because you feel like God should have stopped it. Well, why did you let this happen to me? And why didn't you stop it? You know, because that's the prevailing view. Here's God. God's like, well, why didn't you stop? And why didn't you ask me first? And why didn't you seek me? And why didn't you wait until I gave you an answer? Why did you run ahead of me? You see, there are two sides to every conflict when there is a relationship. And so you are going to take God off the hook because, you know, if I know God the way I know him, God will let you know something is coming down the pipe. He will let you know who's going to break your heart, who's going to hurt your feelings. This person is not going to be what you think. Now, you're going to ride this out for a little bit, especially someone who's had the relationship with him that you have. You have strong relations with God. So a lot of times we have in our hearts, and I'm speaking for me now, we have in our heart personal aspirations and aspirations that yell at us so loud. We have to satisfy them as best we can. And then, of course, then we have all of our friends saying, well, go at it. You know, God said he'll give me the desires of our heart, and God said it if I do this, and so he'll let us go and do it. Another time he will motivate us to do it because he wants us to experience the situation that he's having. And he wants us to be able to speak into that situation later on down the line when he's ready to use us. Does this make sense to you, Bridget?
Amen, it does.
Okay? So you and God are going to have to clean up a lot, and you're going to have to prove to God that the next time you get disappointed with his people and his church, that you don't make him the whipping boy because he's a person and you need him. And one of the things I know, of those of us who enjoy a personal relationship with God, and I say, I don't mean just, you know, we're saved. You know, some people say they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They just own the books. You know, you just got your little birth certificate in the kingdom. That's it. You haven't been back to visit God since then. You know, it's like the hospital I was born in. You know, I was born in this hospital, and so they hold my records, but hey, do I know anything about it? I don't care. But then there are those who live in his heart, live in his house. You are pushing your way. And for us to do that, it takes a lot for God to let us come that close to him. He will always be there with us. But there is that dimension of intimacy even God is selective about. He said Abraham was my friend. David was a man after my own heart. You know, Moses is my buddy. How dare you mistreat Moses? So God has that those people that he allows to come into a place of intimacy with him, where he exposes parts of himself and sides of his character that he doesn't expose everybody else. Most people meet God in his office. You're in the office called God. God is always operating out that office. But then there is that whole other thing, Father, and then there is that other thing, I am going to be a daddy's girl. I'm going to be a daddy's guy. You know, even in a household of children, you had reached that place, and that is why he cut off, because you hurt him. So you have to go back and fix that. And trust me, if he puts you through with me today, he is ready to resume relationships. So you're going to have to create that bridge to eliminate you all's estrangement, because you literally estranged yourself from God for reasons that didn't make sense to him. So it's going to be wonderful. You're going to do fine. But I'm telling you right now, take a whole lot of Kleenex, because you're going to cry your little heart out. And because let me tell you how it is. When he started opening up, well, we like to be tough and big and bad with God until he shows us what we did to him. When we start seeing his wound, oh my God, we like, because that's why we were scared. And we love him. We really love him. You know, everybody acts like the people who are Christians are begrudging Christians. No, we love this guy. He is an amazing God. And we know things about him that the world can't figure out. So we are not trying to be estranged from God, and we're not trying to wound him. But sometimes in our immaturity and in our childish tantrums, we can do that. And so he's ready for you. He wants you to come to him. But he wants you to come to him fully aware of what you did so that you and he don't have to walk through this again, because God is not about to let us stay close to him and constantly beat him like that. That's why he has layers of angels and spirits and all that. He got a whole lot of church, Christians, leaders, fivefold. There's a whole, you got to weed through a lot to get as close to God as you were. And he is not going to allow you to do that again. He's taking this, he's chalking this up as ignorance, naivety, I didn't know any better. But now he expects you to value your relationship with him, and he expects you to celebrate him no matter who does what. He expects you to celebrate him. Am I helping you get there?
Amen. You are.
Okay. The next thing, then he'll deal with you. See, he will deal with you about church, the church thing, because right now, in order for you to get mad at the church, you had to first get mad at the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. Because in order for somebody to say, I'm mad with the church, they have to say that Jesus Christ put them in a church that would wound or fail them, or Jesus Christ is not a good head of his house. Because all things work together for the good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. and you are one of those called according to his purpose. So you're going to have to, and I know it, see, I'm so glad I don't live with you because, see, I know how this is with you and Jesus. I know that. And so God is like, I'm bothered that you were that comfortable being out of fellowship with me that long. And that is because we get caught in our self-righteousness. And no, I'm not going to make you feel good about it, because to whom much is given, much is required. And you have a great calling on your life, and God has great plans for you. He has enormous visions. And I'm telling you, I'm on his side. I want you to never, ever risk this again. Are we clear?
Amen.
I know, you don't even want to talk to me. I know, baby, because you're like, if the woman asks me one more thing, I'm going to break down. So, bitch, you just leave me alone. We should just go on and pray for me and let me wrap up my call. And go, wrap up my call. Go do it, my call.
I was prepared for you. I was prepared for whatever. I said, I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to scream. I was scared.
You know, but you said, I don't listen to enough shows to know I'm going to have to be ready for this. I'm going to put on my
big
right.
My heart was fluttering before I even got on the call. I was like, oh, Lord.
But, baby, you are a wonderful woman. I look forward to meeting you one day. You have a very, very sweet spirit, very strong spirit, and God's going to do great things with you. But you are going to have to be a big girl. You're not one of those that God is allowing to stay in the nursery room. And with the little, you're not doing that. You're going to have to be one of the big women he wants at his table. You know, it's kind of like the head of the ship. You get that privilege of sitting at the captain's table. He wants you at his table, not just in the kingdom, not just working in the vineyard. And I mean, for that, you got to, the closer you get to God, the better he expects you to treat him. And he doesn't expect you to do to him what the people who are far off do. He expects you not to use your close proximity with him to exploit his special love and affection for you, or his special trust. And in your case, it's a trust. So, Father, thank you for Bridget today. And, Lord, I thank you that you're a merciful God, that you're a tender Father and a loving King. And I thank you, Lord, that as she sits down with you to work through these issues, that you lead her and guide her into all truth by your Spirit, that you deliver her soul. But, God, also that you take her back to those moments, let her see them accurately. Right now she's recalling and reliving them emotionally. But, God, I'm asking that you would cause her to see them accurately, precisely the way they happen, and let her see into the parts that she's ignored, the things that have hit her blind side, the things that she wasn't aware that took place, and God, even her role in it. But more importantly, I thank you, Father God, that you are merciful enough to this woman. You love her enough to resume all fellowship and communion with her. And God, to let her know who she is in you. I bless her. I bless your communion, Father God. I bless your relationship with this woman and those that are listening who are like her. And I bless her restoration back into her place in your palace, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, beloved.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price. Love you.
I love you, too. And make sure you call me back and talk to me.
I will.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Well, that was a meaty show.
I'll tell you what, Ashley. We never know which way God is going to go, do we?
No, we don't. But we always know it's going to be an interesting ride.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's an interesting God, and that's what I appreciate about doing this, that we get a chance to see all of the different sides of God and to see his attitude and to really see how God is administrating his office through this call, because that's what he's doing. Jesus is literally discharging his own office and handling his own duties and responsibilities according to this call with these people one-on-one. You know, sometimes we need a one-on-one with God. Sometimes, you know, being in a group of 5,000, 500, sometimes a group of five, just not enough. We need to know that we are specifically attended to by God. So that's what I'm excited about. Listen, thank you all for joining us this week. You know I love you. Check me out on Facebook, but most importantly, continue to pass it around so people know God wants to talk to you and he wants to talk to your issues. I love every one of you. God bless. Have a powerful week.
Support the Paula Price Show today For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.